And all right, okay, let me leave this. Now tonight we keep advancing. If you need an entire book on the Old Testament, Christ in the Old Testament, I do have it printed for you, free of charge, all right? Donations of $1,000 or more to the church are available. All right, let's pray before we go into the study of tonight, which is the fear of God. Father, we are more than delighted to look upon thy word and to see in thy word the key who opens thy word to our life, the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us, O God, tonight to see Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. The study tonight in this series of the Old Testament, this is study number 17, actually 18, is the book of Ecclesiastes, and we are interested in showing to you Christ Jesus in every part of our Bible. All right, Ecclesiastes to me speaks in this way, the Lord Jesus Christ, the fear of God. We need Proverbs, the wisdom of God. This is the fear of God. Now we look into the serious progression. Look into each book of the Bible and see if you remember how Christ was there. In the book of Genesis is the seed of the woman. In the book of Exodus is the Passover lamb. In the book of Leviticus is the sacrifice of the high priest. In the book of Numbers is raising up the brazen, the versus serpent. In the book of Deuteronomy is the prophet of God. In the book of Joshua, the savior of our soul. In the book of Judges, remember, that is the judge and lawgiver. In the book of Ruth, and that's easy, in chapter 3, the kinsman redeemer. All right, in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. Samuel pray a lot, so Jesus is there. Intercessor. Thank you. All right. In the book of 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, they're all one book in the Hebrew Bible and talks about a king. So is Christ the reigning king. In the book of Ezra, he was a one who wrote the faithful scribe. And we had the words we study at 4 o'clock that what we have in the Bible is the last words of God, the words of Christ. In the book of Nehemiah, he built the wall, so Christ is the builder of the wall. In the book of Esther, she liberated the people through her uncle who was mighty, so he is one greater than Mordecai. In the book of Job, he was ill, but he was healed, so the healer of our soul, all right? In the book of Psalm, the shepherd of Israel, Psalm 23. In the book of Proverbs, the wisdom of God. And now tonight, we go into the topic discussion. And the topic discussion is this, the book of Ecclesiastes and its relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what, you can take a lot of topics from the book of Ecclesiastes. Even secular people use the book of Ecclesiastes as a teaching of encouragement to people. But we're going to relate only the book of Ecclesiastes and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the important part here. All right, let's go to the general information. Even though you know it, I'd like to do it again. In the Gospel of Luke, in chapter 24, in verse 27 and in verse 44, we have a very remarkable statement. In verse 27, Jesus speaks to two people only. Excuse me. And in verse 27, he speaks to two people who wear this courage. They, you know, came from Jerusalem, going to Emmaus. The Savior was there. And Jesus joined them, but they never know that Jesus was in their midst. And Jesus had to reveal himself. And look at how he did it. Verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus talked about one thing only, about the Messiah. In all the scriptures, he talks about the Messiah. You move your eyes to verse 44. Now he's sitting with all the disciples, 11 of them, no 12, 11 there. And Jesus is going to reveal himself to them. And the Bible said, he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Look at the detail that Jesus is given. The book of Moses is the first five books of the Bible. They're written about me. And then he said the prophets. The rest of the Old Testament in Hebrew is called the prophets. With one exception, the book of Psalms. And so he said the rest of the Old Testament is written about me, and then the book of Psalms is written about me. So actually Jesus is saying in verse 44, the entire Old Testament is written about me. Now we go to the next proof, is in John chapter 5 and in verse 39. And in John chapter 5 and in verse 39, Jesus again is talking about himself in the scripture. Now to different crowd of people. He talked to two people. He talked to the disciples. Now he talks to his enemies, the Pharisees. And look at what he says in verse 39. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they is the scripture, and they are they which testify of me. So the scriptures, again, testify about the Lord Jesus. And the crown verse is Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7. These verses alone say it all, because in Hebrews 10 and in verse 7, we have a quotation from the Old Testament, now making a New Testament. And the Bible explains, is self-explanatory here in Hebrews 10 and in verse 7. Then said I, lo, I come, where? In the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O God. In the volume of the book, it is written of me. And so we do hold a Bible who has 66 volumes within one package. And in the whole volume of this book, it is written about the Lord Jesus Christ. So with no hesitation and no doubts, the whole Bible reveals the Lord Jesus if we carefully look upon. Now we're going to go into our lesson tonight with a specific information. And the specific information is always the typological information about Jesus. We're going to look into some types of the Old Testament and refer to the New Testament. Point A is its authorship. Who wrote the book of Ecclesiastes? So we go back to the book of Ecclesiastes, which is a book right after the book of Psalm, the book of Proverbs, and then you find Ecclesiastes. And in chapter 1 and in verse 1, you find the author of the book of Ecclesiastes. All right? The word of the preacher, the son of David, king said in Jerusalem. Now, obviously, in your mind comes Solomon, but to be fair with you, Absalom took over David, and there were some interruption in his kingdom where he was withdrawn out, and they were all children of David. So how do we know that here the words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem, is Solomon? Well, we need to go back to the book of First Kings. Remember, that's the books of records in the Old Testament. And I give you the reference, First Kings in chapter 4 and in verse 1. Then over there, you find a clear statement. They identify the author. So King Solomon was king over all Israel. Now, if you look in Ecclesiastes, it said the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. In order to have the kingdom united, you need to be king in Jerusalem. The other kings were not in Jerusalem. The other children of David were not exercising the kingdom in Jerusalem, but the only person in David's family who exercised the kingdom in all Israel, not Judah and Israel, in all Israel, Judah, Benjamin, and the other tribes on the east, they're all together was Solomon. And so we're going to compare these with 2 Samuel in chapter 12, verse 24 and 25. 2 Samuel chapter 12 in verse 24 and 25. And David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon, and the Lord loved him. You know, the word love him means beloved. All right? And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and he called his name Jedidiah. Now, look at verse 24. David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and remember, after the loss of the first child, and went in unto her and lay with her, and she bare a son, and he, David, called that son Solomon. But God did not call that Solomon. God called beloved. Look at verse 25. And called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. Jedidiah means beloved in Hebrew. And so God, the son of David, was called beloved, beloved of God. And David called Solomon son of peace because brought peace between Bathsheba and himself because the first son who was illegitimate died. So that's a great, great insight to have. Now remember, Solomon, we know Solomon. How many of you knew that Solomon was Jedidiah? And Jedidiah was beloved of God. That was his, from God's point of view, his son was beloved of God. From David's point of view, was a prince of peace. He was a man of peace. Now that really give you a real remarkable statement on the next sentence. Solomon is the prince of peace. That's exactly what David wants. He wanted a peacemaker. David has spent time in war after war after war against the Philistines, against the south and the north, and he expanded the territory. It is time for peace in Israel, and God gave Solomon. So if we look in Isaiah chapter 9, in verse 6, a verse that we all use for Christmas time about Jesus, Isaiah 9, in verse 6, the Bible says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father," what else? "The Prince of Peace." All right? And if you go to John chapter 14, in verse 27 in the scripture, you find somebody who is a peacemaker and a prince of peace. John 14 in verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither be afraid." So we have here at the very beginning in the authorship of these, we have one picture of Christ. From human point of view, Christ is the Prince of Peace. If there is going to be peace in Israel, it's going to be through Christ and not through human resources. But also from God's point of view is Jedidiah. And now let's study Jedidiah. He's beloved of God. If you go to Matthew chapter 3, and this class sounds almost like the 4 o'clock that we study the words of Christ. Jedidiah chapter 3, Matthew chapter 3, in verse 17, is the closing of the baptism of the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus was baptized, the crown of that baptism was a voice from heaven. And look at what the voice says and verse 17. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved son, Jedediah again, in whom I am well pleased. And so the book of Ecclesiastes in one verse, in verse 1, when you pull apart all the details of the original language, you find that the author of the book is a prince of peace to humanity and a beloved of God, a messenger of God. And so that's a wonderful and remarkable statement. Now, point B in this is that it's accomplishment. What are the accomplishment of Solomon? Well, if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, do you remember all the human accomplishment that he did? Like he has lots of wives, but accomplishment in the sense he was the first man who brought water from Lebanon into the area. He was the first man to have a horse race track. He was the first man in having two castles for care of families. He was the first man in development agriculture in the desert. He was a great man. The Bible never in the New Testament remembers Solomon for this architectural and engineering accomplishment, but remember Solomon for something magnificent. Let's go to Acts chapter 7 and verse 47. Now, we have here the statement made Stephen. Remember, Stephen was a deacon in the church of Jerusalem, and he's given a report before his death to the Sanhedrin. And look at what he said about Solomon. Let me read verse 46, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for God, for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him what? A house. It means the temple. Solomon is remembered in the New Testament not for his architectural and engineering accomplishment, who were remarkable. He's remembered because he built the temple. Now, you remember that David wanted to build a temple, and that God said, no, you are a man of much blood. It's good that you liberate Israel, but you intentionally put blood all over, so you should not be a part of the temple and building the temple. But this guy, who is a prince of peace, and that's a great picture, that the church of God is not being built by the sword, but is being built by the peace of God. See? That's the way you build the church of God. Now, this accomplishment is that Solomon built the temple. Now, we get to the comparison. We need to compare to Zechariah chapter 6 in verse 13, where we have the prophecy concerning the building of the temple. Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 13. This is a prophecy concerning the temple. And concerning, let me read verse 12 so that you get an idea of how these tie together. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Zechariah 6:12, behold, the man whose name is the branch. And you know who is that? Capital letters in King James. And he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. So that's a prophecy that the physical temple was built by Solomon, the man of peace, but the spiritual temple will be built by the Messiah, the man of peace. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 and 21, where the Bible testify that the builder of the temple is nothing more and nothing less than the Lord Jesus himself. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 and verse 21. And let me read verse 19 so you get the context. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, talking about the Gentiles, but fellow citizens with the saints and the household of God. And look at how we are built, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. And what is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and whom all the building filthily framed together growth unto a holy temple in the Lord. And so another picture of the book of Ecclesiastes is, number one, the Prince of Peace, from a human point of view, the beloved of God or approved of God. And then the accomplishment is that this Prince of Peace will build the temple. He built the temple in the Old Testament. There is a prophecy concerning the spiritual temple and was fulfilled by the Lord Jesus Christ, the cornerstone of that temple. And now also I want to talk to you about its life summary. The entire, if you go to chapter 12 in the book of Ecclesiastes, is a summary of Solomon's life in all his details. And the life summary is given in chapter 12, verse 13 and verse 14. That's the life summary of the book of Ecclesiastes. We read, and farther, by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. And so now he comes to the summary, verse 13. All right, and look at what he said. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. After all, after you really finish Ecclesiastes 12, 13, after you really look into all the details, into all the policies and arguments and guidelines for your life. You want to have a summary that will help you in your life. Here's the summary, said Paul. Fear God. Is that hard? Fear God. Second, keep his commandment. That's it. Sound easy, don't we? No, that's right. It's not easy. Because we're talking about God here. Unless God give us grace, we cannot fear him. Unless God give us grace, we cannot keep his commandment. You can try all you want to. But we are marred by what? By sin. I wish, and I always dream in this, why when I get saved, the old nature will zip out, and then I'll be a perfect puppet for God. Then if I be a perfect puppet for God, I will have no love for God. Because if we love God, what we do? We keep his commandment. So God, somebody else told me that. I asked that question to a preacher. He said, well, Gabriel, then you never will love God. Because in order to love God, you have to keep his commandments. So God gave this old nature in you so that you overrule the old nature by the grace of God. And then you love God by obeying his commandment. And it's amazing that the life summary of Solomon is you must fear God. And so now we go Jesus' lifestyle in John 8:29 and see if he really feared God or not. In John chapter 8, in verse 29, we find in a statement made by the Lord Jesus of his summary in his life. What was his function? And chapter 8, verse 29 said, Jesus is speaking, and he says, and he that sent me is with me, and the Father have not left me alone, for I do always. Boy, that's a big statement. And like Anthony will say, Pastor, I do always, that means never miss it, what my Father said. Woo! That's a big statement, don't we? That's a big statement. If Amy will say, oh, yeah, Pastor, no problem. I do always what my mama said. Oh, well, that's a big statement. You know, I give you that comparison to give you the heavy weight of these words. Jesus said, I do always what my Father said. In other words, he feared God. He respect God. And that's what we get when we get the grace of God. And a natural man, I cannot do it. And even I will ask you to do it because it's impossible for you to do it. But actually, as a believer also, we find very hard to do it. But we can pray for the grace of God and our life to do it. And so what a gracious picture in the book of Ecclesiastes. I was in love in seeing this wonderful picture. We started in verse 1, and in chapter 1, verse 1, and we end up in chapter 12, verse 13, and we see a coherence in the book. We see that God selected the man who has two names from a human point of view, Solomon. Jedediah, from God's point of view, the beloved of the Lord. And then we see that these names were given, and a task was given, and the man was bright and brilliant, and he can do anything that comes into his hand. But to him was given the ability to do the temple of God. Do you remember that the temple had a quality? The temple was built without a hammer being touched. And you know, you need to bring the stone, and you need to feed it. But you know how they did it? Possibly they draw the whole picture and they cut the stones down and so on. And a great picture, that's another great picture, how we are built. We are cut by Christ and placed in the temple of God by Christ. No human being placed himself in the temple of God. Remarkable pictures. And then the builder of the temple is Christ Jesus. In the summary of her life, Solomon, after all, he said, if you want to be successful, son, if you really want to be great, you fear God. That's the first thing his son didn't. And Israel was a split. Jeroboam is split Israel in two. Israel and Judah, and never again united. Never again united. And so this is what Christ did. He obeyed the Father, so he was victorious. He died on the cross. He resurrected. He's in heaven at the right hand of God, interceding for us. Why? Because he feared God. Now, here's a verse who is the message of the book. And so the next one is the message of the book. It's Deuteronomy 10 and verse 12. If I had to put those, the message, the entire message of the picture of Christ is here. And let me get all the words there because it's very, very important. Here's what Deuteronomy 10, 12 said. And now, Israel, what does the Lord thy God require of thee? What God does want from me? To fear the Lord thy God. You know this always is first. Fear the Lord thy God. Walk in all his way. In all his way. I love these adverbs who modify the verb. All his ways. And to love him. That means obeying him. You know, to love him is not just saying, yes, yes, Lord, Lord. No, that to love God, when you see in the Bible, to love him means to obey him. All right? And to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That is the key. You know, amazing enough happened this week. On the 13th was the last day I had the multiple jobs. On the 14th, I had my full-time job here. And phone calls came in the office on Friday like crazy. One lady said, I want you to marry my daughter. I said, why? He said, well, don't people marry in the church? I don't know. He said, are you the pastor? I want to talk to the pastor. You're talking to the pastor. Why you want your daughter married here? You never came to church. I don't remember you. You know, I never went to the church. I live in Morton Hill, though. I said, well, but this is not a public place owned by the people of Morton Hill. This is owned by the corporation called Bethel Baptist Church of Gilroy. He said, well, how much do you charge me to marry my daughter? No, I can't charge you to marry your daughter. I said, and who is she going to marry? A man. Oh, I'm supposed to. I said, and tell me. You never know today. And the man loved the Lord? And who is the Lord? She said. I said, you called the wrong number. Let me give you the number of the San Jose Court of Peace, and the judge will marry you. He said, no, we don't want a judge. We want God. Why? He said, well, don't people marry under God? No, only if you love him. And she said, well, how do you love God? You obey him. She said, forget it, and hang up. It's a key word, don't we? It's not a key word. Save me problems. They maybe think I'm a nut. Who knows the people around here, what they think of me. But I tell you, I went Friday morning, early in the morning, to visit the senior citizen center. See, and I said, I paid the donors for all of you. So I paid the donors. Everybody happy. Then I took my Bible. And somebody said, you know, this is a public place. That's what I'm using my Bible. This is a public book. And so I read the book. And I left Bibles, 25 of them. They're with them. And passed the tracks. He said, no, you cannot do that in a public place. You call the police later on. And I passed the tracks and pray. And they want me now every day to come in and pray. As I can't do every day, but I promise, 4 days a week, I will go at 8 o'clock, have breakfast with you and pray. If we love God, the doors are open left and right. And then when I visit with the mayor, it's an open door. He said, what can I do for you, Pastor? No, just in the reverse. What can I do for you?
The guy, Kennedy, never. Everybody who goes over there is asking for something.
But the mayor who was before is my haircut guy who cut my hair. He was the mayor of the city. And so I told him, I want to see the mayor. So you come in. And they give me a nice gift, a mate. You know what mate is? It's a nice thing with a gold straw from Argentina. He said, I went in Argentina and I don't know what to do. He said, oh, that's good. Give it to me. So I got it. Beautiful. And he said, I said, memory. I said, will you come to church, mayor? He said, well, no. He said, I'm a Catholic. Well, we are more than Catholic. We are universal. This is the universal church. The Catholic is just partial. See, Catholic. It's the Catholic Church of Rome. But we are from everywhere. Oh, wow. I said, yeah, as you please. Oh, I'm really looking. And love him. Love him. If we love God, the door's going to be open. We just have to love him. We don't have to worry how many will come. We love God. And you young people love God. Life is going to be beautiful. Maybe you're a doctor, maybe not. Who cares? But you love God. And God's going to protect you. God's going to give you, if you are to be married or maybe not married, if you are to be married, if you love God, God is going to give you a wonderful companion. Wonderful. But the key is that we love God. With all Solomon's imperfection and with all Solomon's defects, he loved the Lord. When he made boo-boos, then God finally at 41 cut his life, and we don't know any more about Solomon. So let's not play around with God. And let's love God. Let's love God. And we're going to see great days ahead that we never dream. I told people, our church is going to be so full of the presence of God. I don't know how large it's going to be, but it's going to be so full of the presence of God that we never saw it before. If we have more people or less people, that's incidental. The key is this. We're going to preach Christ to the entire city until the people will be Christ to the head. That's what we need. That's what we need. And you get a nut like me going around, oh boy, it's going to be wonderful. It's going to be, and you know who's my partner now? Ortiz left. My partner is Wayne. And Wayne is full of power to do that. He's taking a class in Florida through the internet. I show him how to take a class and how to answer questions from people. And then when I train him, I get some of you. And you just, one day you have 2-3 hours free. You come in here, get for a few 5 Bibles, and we knock the doors and we offer to the people here. I tell you, if we love God, we witness about God. But we witness not to win anybody. We don't win anybody. We just share and testify. God is the one who wins people. It's not great. Ecclesiastes, the fear of God. May God grant to me fear. May God grant to you fear of God. Then your life is solved. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this book. So precious, so rich, so full of lessons for us. Bless us, O God, with the gift of fearing God and loving you. And the rest will be history. In Jesus' name we pray and thank you. Protect your people as they travel. Lord, my heart is heavy. Some of them have to travel for an hour. And this is a heavy hour. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen.